all the stops. Some churches just have the kind of moving background on the screen behind the song words, but we arranged a sausage dog convention this morning. So some of you might have enjoyed that backdrop. Not at all distracting. I'm sure they were going somewhere for Easter. Okay, we're going to begin this morning with a little game, I guess. It's called That Was Unexpected. And so in my box here, I've got a bunch of things. And first of all, I need your help. You're an astute bunch. I'm going to hold up some things. You need to tell me what you would expect to find within this particular container, okay? And I'll hold them up high so that all the kids can see, especially. What would I expect to find in here?
Ice cream,
thank you. You're really playing along well. I appreciate that. You could have... All right, so we'll have a look in there in a moment. Now, what else have we got? Oh. Everyone see those? Smarties. Okay, these are good for Easter, I think. In here. Easter egg. Some of you have seen maybe one or more of these this morning already and tucked in. And then finally, this one's a bit harder to identify from a distance. This says, some of the parents might know, this says collection on the top. Does anyone know which shop that would be from? Tin of biscuits? I think it's from Marks and Spencer's. We don't shop there. I don't know how they got into our house, but someone obviously gave them to us. Okay, so those are the things we would expect. Well done. Now let's see whether we're going to get a pleasant or an unpleasant surprise. So first of all, tub of ice cream. You're probably wondering how I've stopped it from melting. Oh, can you see that? Can you imagine? Oh, sitting down for a nice tub of ice cream and finding... Who actually likes lettuce? Okay, good. On its own? In a bowl? Maybe with chocolate sauce on? I don't think it's going to work. Okay, I think that's a slightly disappointing surprise. Where should we go next? All right, let's go with the Smarties. There's definitely something in there. So if I can get them open. What have we got? Oh, okay, these aren't very edible. Anyone, can you see that? Anyone know what that is? It's actually coins. And I went in search of English money and found out I don't carry cash anymore. So these are Polish. But here's the thing, slightly unexpected surprise, but with this Polish money, if you're in Poland, you could go and buy lots of tubes of Smarties. So it's kind of it's a surprise, but it could be good. I could end up with more Smarties. So some surprises are pleasant. Let's go, all right, we'll go here now. We'll go with the Easter egg. Actually, do I have a younger volunteer that would like to come and open this for me? Henry, put your hand down, honestly. Let's have Hope. Hope, can you come on up? All right, have you opened one of these already today?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've practiced, you know how to do it. Look forward so everyone can see. Have a look what's in there. It's fairly promising to begin with, although... Now, it looks quite small, but that's what they do these days. They shrink everything down. Hope, do you want to open that and just see what kind of chocolate it is? Hold it up a little bit as you do it. Ah. Okay, yes. Well, you're smiling. Some of us wouldn't be. Thank you very much, Hope. Go and sit down. Thanks for your help. Thank you, Hope. So no questions will be asked as to where the chocolate went, but there is a potato for lunch. And then finally, the Marks and Spencer's collection. We said there should be biscuits in here. And, there's sort of the remnants. Okay. They're for later. Okay, so that was our little game of That Was Unexpected. There were unexpected things in each of those. But the question really is, were you happy or sad? Would you be happy or sad about finding these unexpected items in these different places? Is it good news or bad news that there's a potato inside the Easter egg box? Would you be happy or would you be annoyed expecting ice cream and finding lettuce inside rather than something to have with your apple pie? Today we're going to read from John's account of the resurrection, and in it we're going to find three of Jesus' really good friends heading out to visit the tomb. Now they all saw him from differing distances on the Friday, dying. They knew that he had been buried, and they go to visit, but when they get to the tomb, what they find there is very unexpected. And the question is, what will they all make of it? Will it be a pleasant surprise, or will it be the saddest surprise that they've ever had? Now, as we listen to the beginning of the story of the first Easter, I just want you to kind of, if you can picture it in your minds, picture what's happening. It's still dark. It's that early in the morning, still dark. Mary, one of Jesus' friends, is going to the tomb where she knows Jesus' body was laid a couple of days earlier. Listen to this. We're going to break up our reading this morning. Listen to this first part. I'm going to ask Noah to come and read this first part. And then afterwards, I'm going to ask you to think about what you think Mary expected to find there. Okay, so Noah, can you just come and read the first couple of verses for us? So it's John 20, verses 1 and 2.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him."
Excellent. Thank you, Noah. What do you think Mary was expecting to find that morning when she got to the tomb? Shout out an answer. What do you think she was hoping to find or expecting to find? Yeah, Jesus' body. Yeah, he's been buried in the tomb. She's expecting to find his body. Now, I wonder how often you lose things. Hands up if at some point this week you have lost something. Maybe you've even said, I can't find my phone, I can't find my keys, I can't find my favourite teddy, I can't find my lunchbox. Hands up, anyone had that this week? Oh, not too many. Okay. One thing you can say about Jesus' body is that you don't usually lose the body of someone that's been buried. A body stays where it's left. But not for Mary that day. And we heard what she was thinking. Someone has taken the body. I don't know where it is. Mary found something she didn't expect. And she immediately thought, I guess the most obvious explanation, someone has taken Jesus' body. And so her initial reaction is to be incredibly sad. She's already sad because Jesus has died, but she's even more sad now because even his body is not there. Now we're going to follow Mary's story, and it is going to have the best happy ending ever. But it's helpful to recognize that, first of all, the empty tomb, it is a nasty surprise, not a good surprise. And that's because Mary doesn't yet understand what's taken place. Okay, I'm going to ask Megan to come and read the next part of our passage. So this is verses 3 to 10.
So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there. He did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying in the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes.
Thank you, Megan. Okay, now there's quite a lot of running to and fro in this account, so just going to go over, because there's some lovely details in here as well. So first of all, Mary, she leaves home first, and as we said earlier, it's still dark, it's very early. She goes to the tomb, she finds the stone has been removed from the entrance, and that's not what she expected. Shocked, she runs back home and she goes and tells Peter and John they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him. And then Peter and John, well, this is alarming news for them early in the morning. And so immediately they head out together to see the tomb for themselves. And in fact, John tells us, so urgent, this is so unexpected, they both ran there. And John adds an interesting detail. He says he made it there first. We don't know why he's telling us that, but maybe he was enjoying the race. But also it's showing us, the details matter because this is history. This is what took place. So they get there. John gets there first. He looks into the tomb. He doesn't go in, but he looks in and he sees the folded grave clothes there. And then Peter catches up. Peter actually then goes into the tomb. He sees what John has seen from the doorway looking in. He sees the folded clothes that were once wrapped around Jesus' lifeless body. So they both see, just as Mary did, the linen cloths are there, but there is no body. Jesus is not there. There's no doubt about it then. All three witnesses have now seen the same thing. Jesus' body isn't in the tomb. Now the important question is, what will each of them make of this? Mary, as we said, is really upset. She feels like she found a lettuce inside her ice cream tub or a potato inside her Easter egg. John, on the other hand, is at the opposite extreme already. He seems there and then to believe that Jesus has risen. He hasn't seen the risen Jesus yet, but just the fact the tomb is empty, the clothes are folded, he seems convinced that Jesus has risen. It's like he's just found a million Polish zloty, I think they're called, in his Smarties tube. He's found something better than he expected when he went to the tomb to find Jesus' body. So he's found an empty tomb. It's wonderful news for him. But what about Peter? Well, initially, Peter's somewhere in the middle, somewhere between Mary and John. In Luke's gospel, which Pete read at the beginning, it says that Peter went away marveling, which actually means he went away sort of pondering. He's just like, whoa, what is going on here? This is amazing, but I'm not quite sure what to make of it. The reason I mention those three different responses is that how we respond is so important. There is no more important question that could be asked of you and I this morning, or perhaps any morning, than how will I respond to the empty tomb? The tomb was empty. The body was gone. There were at least three eyewitnesses to confirm it. There will be many more eyewitnesses later in the gospel to confirm seeing Jesus risen. So let me ask you, what is your explanation for the empty tomb? What is your explanation for the grave clothes left behind? What is your explanation for the missing body? More importantly still, what is your response? Do you believe this morning in the risen Jesus, defeating death, never to die again? This is the compelling evidence of the first Easter, evidence that begins with a surprisingly empty tomb. But we're not quite done yet with these Easter Sunday eyewitness accounts. It gets even better still. And so third and final reading this morning, Ben's going to come. Ben, I've lost you. Where are you? Oh, there you are. Brilliant. Yes, Ben. So verses 11 to 18.
But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her.
Thank you, Ben. Okay, so Mary, if you're following all the to-ing and fro-ing, Mary actually goes back to the tomb for a second look. She still doesn't know what's going on. She's just desperately sad. John tells us she's weeping. And unfortunately, there's still no Jesus there, but instead, we've just heard, there are two angels sitting inside the tomb now, sitting one on each end of exactly where Jesus' body would have been laid. And they ask her why she's crying. And maybe she thought that should be obvious, but she tells them anyway. So she's looking into the tomb. Then she turns around and sees behind her in the garden someone who looks like a gardener. At least she assumes this is the gardener. And they actually begin a conversation together. She's still not recognizing who this is until finally he says her name, Mary. And I love this detail. I hope you do too. It was her, It was Jesus saying her name to her that opened her eyes and made her realize who this was. The Bible actually says that when God saves us, he calls us by name. Isaiah 43, verse 1, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." But one day, that's an inner calling, but one day we will, like Mary, hear Jesus speak to us audibly. We'll hear it with our own ears. And if you're trusting in Jesus this morning, then one day, finally, you will see him face to face, just like Mary did. He will say your name. He will say your name. And you will be overjoyed. You will be beaming, like I'm sure Mary was beaming. You will know exactly who this is. And you will know how he feels about you. Mary was so pleased to see Jesus. She gives him a massive hug. He has to eventually say, "You know, you're going to have to let me go. I've got things to do." But she doesn't want to let him go. Finally, she's with him. That will be our experience one day when we see him face to face. But then Jesus says something even more amazing to Mary. He says, "You have to let me go because I am on my way back to my Father in heaven. Go and tell my disciples that I am alive. Soon I will go back to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Listen carefully to that. My Father and your Father. Jesus told Mary that she could call God Father, just like he does. There and then, on that first Easter morning, because of the cross and because of the empty tomb, because Jesus had died and risen again, Mary was part of God's family, just as much a part of God's family as Jesus was. This is incredible. Now, I wonder, hands up if you've ever seen the first Paddington film. Okay, I'm going to get a reputation as well. I pointed out to Lizzie that I'm mentioning Paddington. She was like, "You did that recently." And I was like, "That's Paddington 2. This is the other greatest movie of all time." But in the first Paddington movie, I'm sure you know the story, a bear from Peru loses his home in an earthquake. He goes in search of a new home. He ends up in London at Paddington Station, and he's taken in by the Browns. But unfortunately, he causes chaos. If you remember one scene, he floods the house or floods the bathroom when he's trying to take a bath. Mr. Brown especially is far from impressed with this bear, and Mr. Brown is very uncertain about Paddington staying and living with them. But by the end of the movie, Mr. Brown welcomes Paddington into his family, treating him like he's one of his sons. And there's this beautiful scene right near the very end where the whole family are gathered around in the kitchen. Paddington's sat up on the stove, sat near the stove. He's making marmalade for everyone, and everyone's chatting. And then one of the family members says, "I think every home should have a bear. I think every home should have a bear." And it's at that moment, at the mention of that word home, that you see this look on Paddington's face, suddenly a look of peace and contentment and belonging spreads over his face. And then he takes a deep breath and he just repeats this word to himself, home. That's what Jesus gives us through his resurrection from the dead. To all who are trusting in him, Jesus says, "My Father and your Father." We have been brought into God's family. We are home. The cross and the resurrection, it doesn't just change a little detail of what we do one weekend a year or one day a week on a Sunday. It changes everything about us forever. It changes who we are and how we feel. It changes our sense of belonging because we can now call God our Father. It's almost too good to believe. Just a little illustration for this. What have I done? It's on the floor. Ah, there we go. All right, so craft is not my forte, but I did do this. I'm quite proud. I've got slightly wonky heads and the arms are a bit stumpy, but apart from that. Okay, we know that Jesus belongs with God the Father, okay? Jesus and God, they belong together, the Father and the Son. We know that Jesus he's good and he's as perfect as his Father is. So it makes perfect sense to us that, yeah, they belong together and they live together in the most perfect relationship. But now Jesus says to us, everyone who trusts in my finished work on the cross, as different as we might be from God, as different as we might be from Jesus, can completely belong now in God's family. That's what the resurrection does for us. It shows us for certain that Jesus has finished the job that he came to do. He has brought us home to his Father. He has brought us into a relationship with himself and his Father that is as close as the one he enjoys with God himself. That is what Jesus has done. And that's why, actually, the real reason, Mary doesn't need to hold on to Jesus there and then in the garden. Because this is not the end of the story. Jesus is going to go back to his home in heaven. But even when Mary is away from Jesus, she is safe and she is loved and she belongs to God because God is her Father. To be a Christian is to ultimately be able to call God our Father, just as Jesus does. And it's to have a forever home with him where we will forever belong. God will always be with us now. He's always good. And one day we will go home to be with him because of Jesus. And because Jesus died and rose again. Let's pray, and then I'm going to invite you to stand and we'll sing again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of Easter. Oh Lord, we thank you that through the cross and the empty tomb, through your Son, crucified and raised from the grave, Lord, we have been welcomed into your family. Our sins washed away. Lord, we thank you that you love us like you love your Son. Lord, we marvel at that fact. And this morning, once again, we thank you that we can call you Father, just as Jesus calls you Father. And we can call heaven our true home, just as much as it is Jesus' true home. Oh Lord, we pray, bless us today. Lord, help us now to sing with great rejoicing once again at what you have done. Amen.